I have on the phone Randy Susan Klein from Southern California. Are you there, Randy?
Yes, I am.
As if people have been listening, I spoke to Marla Patti just before about Crush Videos, and Randy is also involved in the fight against them. And but Randy's more on the legal side of the issue. And so what got you involved? You are a lawyer, but how did you come to this animal cruelty issue and this particular issue?
Well, I'm a lawyer in Southern California. I have a family law practice, and I used to represent children, you know, abused and neglected children. So I'm also concerned about any being that has cruelty inflicted upon them. And I've always been interested in animal rights, but I never knew how to really work it into my practice. But I blog about it a lot. I read about it a lot. And when this whole thing about Crush Videos came out, it was just horrific to me. So I joined Marla's their group on Stop Crush, and then they made me administrator because they said they needed lawyers who were concerned about this issue. So that's how I got involved in this particular issue.
And when was that?
That was about 2 weeks ago.
Oh, so very, very recently then.
Right. Ever since the Supreme Court decision came out, that was when they got their website going, and that's when people started really getting actively concerned about what was happening with this issue.
Hmm. And obviously, after being contacted, you obviously had to sit down and look at what they were talking about.
Right, right. And that's what I want to talk about here. I heard Marla's interview with you, and she talked about her experience and being an animals advocate and her just experience in this whole industry. But I think that my take on it is a little bit more academic, and what I would like to do is shed some light on the Supreme Court opinion that dealt with this.
Yeah.
And maybe give you a little perspective. I think that might be helpful to your listeners and to people who want to get involved in this issue.
Yes.
Basically, Marla was correct. Mr. Stevens was convicted in federal district court, which is basically a trial court, for violating Section 48 for having dog fights. He made the argument in the trial court that the statute, that Section 48, was unconstitutional, and the district court held that it was not overbroad, it was not unconstitutional, and they convicted him to 37 months imprisonment. Then Mr. Stevens appealed that to the Third Circuit Court, the Court of Appeals, and the Court of Appeals basically refused to recognize a new category of unprotected speech, which I'll explain in a minute what I mean by unprotected speech. They refused to draw an analogy to child pornography, which is what the government was asking them to do, and I will explain that. And they basically overturned his conviction. And then this case worked its way up to the Supreme Court, and now what you have is a ruling by Justice Roberts and the dissent by Justice Alito, and that was what I wanted to sort of talk about here.
But they did vote, but there were obviously the two rulings on the yeas and nays.
Yeah, well, I think what I'm going to do is I'm going to start with Justice Alito's dissent here because, to my way of thinking, it made more sense. I do think the Supreme Court's decision was seriously flawed. It doesn't make sense to me, and I think the easier way to get your arms around this is to talk about what Justice Alito talked about. But basically, whenever you sue somebody, or whenever you're being prosecuted, you have to either assert or be defending your own rights. Okay, and in this case, the exception to that is the overbroad doctrine in cases that involve areas of constitutional law. So generally, when I say asserting your own rights, I guess the best example would be a very simple example would be, say you got into a car accident and you were injured and your mother went into court and sued upon your behalf. Well, she can't do that because she's not the one that was injured. Mm. You were.
Okay.
So generally, in most cases, the judge would say to your mother, who are you? Sit down. Go away. You don't have standing here. Okay? The exception to that are cases, like I said, that involve constitutional issues where things like free speech are involved. Okay? Mm. So in those instances, the court can apply what they call the overbreadth doctrine to see if the statute that they're talking about reaches conduct beyond the people whose immediate rights are involved. So to put that differently, that means that in some instances, people that aren't parties to the action can assert the rights of others. You follow what I'm saying?
I understand. They can step in and do it.
Right. And that's what happened here. The NRA filed an amicus brief, and basically they expressed a concern that, well, this statute as written, you know, while it does prohibit crush videos and maybe action taken in dogfights, they had a concern that it would also prohibit their very legal activities, which includes hunting and gaming and any videos they take from hunting. Now, that hasn't actually happened yet. This is just a concern they expressed. And they filed a brief, you know, in that on that issue. And the court, interestingly enough, the entire Supreme Court decision fell around the issues of these hunters and whether their constitutional rights would be violated by this statute, Section 48, whether the statute was so broad that it not only prohibited crush videos and dog fightings, but if it also prohibited categories of protected speech, such as hunting. And that's where the controversy came about. But, you know, it's amazing to me when I read this decision, it was all about the hunters' rights, and they barely even touched on what Mr. Stevens had done. In fact, the majority said, we are not going to talk about whether a more narrowly drafted statute that only prohibited dog fights and crush videos would pass judicial scrutiny. We don't address that here. You know, so basically what they said is, and I'm kind of jumping a little bit ahead of myself here, there was argument, which I'm going to explain, that talked about, for instance, Justice Alito talked about the child pornography cases and why the reasoning in those cases should be applied here. He did not find the statute overbroad. And the Supreme Court actually came out and said, you know, traditionally there's been areas of unprotected speech, meaning speech that doesn't fall within the First Amendment. You know, not everything we say is absolute. And these areas of unprotected speech include such things as defamation, obscenity, you know, yelling fire in a crowd, things like that, child pornography. But the court came right out in Stevens and said, we're not going to extend animal cruelty into that category of unprotected speech. So they made a choice there. But they left the door open and said, you know, we're also not going to rule on whether or not a more narrowly tailored statute would pass muster. So are you following me so far?
Yeah, really. It sounds like they passed the buck, really, it sounds like to me.
Well, they didn't pass the buck. Let me get into what Justice Alito said, because that was more interesting. They didn't. Well, they did pass the buck. They were straining to find overbreath when none was there.
Exactly.
And Justice Alito reasoned this out very well. He said that the overbreath doctrine shouldn't have been applied. It should only be implied in circumstances where there's substantial overbreath and only as a last resort. He said what they should have done, the Court of Appeals, they should have first looked and seen whether the conduct that Mr. Stevens was involved in was protected under the statute. They did not do that. So in other words, instead of taking such a large look at this and saying, we're going to talk about hunters, we're going to talk about animal rights, Justice Alito said what the Court of Appeals should have done is looked at whether the conduct, only the conduct of Mr. Stevens, violated this statute, and the Court of Appeals refused to do that. And then he showed how the overbreath doctrine didn't apply, because basically the statute, Section 48, the way it was written is, it says it's applied. Section 48 only applies to the depiction of conduct that is illegal where it's created, sold, or possessed. Okay? Well, Justice Alito eloquently argued that wouldn't apply to hunting, because if you're talking about a statute that makes things illegal where it's, or activity illegal that's where it's created, sold, or possessed, hunting is legal in 50 states.
Right.
So it's not legal in the District of Columbia. So, and presumably because of the very urban nature of the District of Columbia. And what the court said, they were just stretching. They said, well, since hunting is illegal in the District of Columbia, these videos that may have been legal, you know, when they were created somewhere else that worked their way into the District of Columbia may be made illegal. And we have a market for people want to buy hunting videos in the District of Columbia. You see, that market is greater than the desire for crush videos. So they were afraid that that was why they ruled that this statute was unconstitutional, only because of this one place, the District of Columbia. And it was ludicrous, because what what Alito said really made more sense to me. In 50 states, hunting is legal. In fact, the drafters of that bill, I'm going to find the language here for you, came out and said, I was reading this today in the Supreme Court opinion, I just have to find the precise language, they came out and said, we do not intend this statute to be applied to hunting. So the fact that the court expressed a concern, Alito said it was just a stretch. It was seriously flawed, and they were looking for the statute to be overbroad. And the only place hunting is not allowed is in the District of Columbia. And it's just so, it was just so far-fetched that somebody who made a video, it was so far-fetched that this would ever apply to hunting, that somehow somebody who had a hunting video that showed hunting and gaming, that let's say it was made in Arkansas and worked its way into the District of Columbia through interstate commerce, is going to be prosecuted under this statute. It never has happened. It's unlikely it would happen, but basically that was the basis of the majority opinion. And they talked a lot about hunting, they talked about gaming, they talked about fishing, they talked about everything except for what Mr. Stevens had done and whether his conduct was illegal under Section 48.
They were certainly looking through horse blinders, weren't they,
it was so twisted. And that basically was the crux of it. I had a few, I'm trying to find some information here, if you just give me a moment. Well, there is language in this opinion here. It says, I don't have the slightest doubt that Congress, in enacting Section 48, had no intentions of restricting the creation, sale, or possession of depictions of hunting. And then he goes in to talk about specific, you know, the language with inside the bill. And it says, proponents of the law made that clear. And then one representative said, depictions of ordinary hunting and fishing activities do not fall within the scope of this statute. That was one representative said that. Then another representative, Mr. McCollum, said, the sale of depictions of legal activities such as hunting and fishing would not be illegal under this bill. Then another person said, it will in no way prohibit hunting, fishing, or wildlife videos. So,
yeah.
The drafters of Section 48 never, ever intended it to have such a broad sweep. And I would have thought that the Supreme Court, it would have been far more appropriate for them to look at the intent of the drafters, the intent of the people that drafted this legislation, instead of stretching to find that it was overbroad and that hypothetically it may apply to a hunting video.
Well, especially on such an issue, to fall on such the soft side instead of the hard side, to me is just mind-boggling, you know, not to deny what's going on with it, you know, the reality of it. That's what gets me, that they went to such a legal technicality.
I do think this is a technicality. Some of my colleagues disagree with me. They said, you know, that we really need to do protect free speech, and you know, they were concerned about everyday liberties. But, I mean, I've read this case a couple of times now, and I don't see overbreath. I don't think the statute was overbroad. And Marla brought up a very good point, that when President Clinton signed this law, Section 48, you know, signed it and it went into effect, the entire market for these videos crashed. Ever since the Supreme Court decision, within hours, this market is resurfaced again, and that was an exact fear that Justice Alito expressed in this opinion, that he was afraid that after the majority opinion gets published and becomes law, that this was going to encourage the market for these videos, and that, in effect, is what it's done.
Incredible. But the trouble is that it has to work its way through the system again. They can't just, that's the sad thing. They can see the mistake being made, but obviously it's got to be brought back to them again in a whole fresh way.
Well, actually, what would have to happen is there is one senator, I think Marla alluded to it, Senator Elton Gallagher, and he's of the 24th Congressional District in Ventura County and Santa Barbara County. He has drafted a bill. He's taken into concern some of the language, some of the concerns the Supreme Court addressed in their opinion. I don't know if you have time to hear them all. It's kind of a long explanation. But, for instance, they said, well, you know, they talked about the language and said, what are you talking about, animal cruelty? Certainly torturing and maiming is cruel, but killing and wounding may not be. you know. Mm. And then they said that the statute itself only prohibited illegal conduct but not cruel conduct. So he went in and he made the bill that he drafted, which is not law yet, but it's the draft. He made it specifically, he had specific language in there that said it is not to be applied to hunting in any way. It shouldn't be interpreted that way. And he used the word cruel. You know, he addressed the concerns that the Supreme Court raised, but, you know, whether or not this passes muster. But I don't think it has to go through the whole system. What would have to happen is that another bill would be drafted. Instead of going back to the Supreme Court, you would go to the legislature at this point. And somebody would draft a bill, you know, Congress would draft a bill, and it would go through the whole process it goes through Congress, and then the president would sign it into law. And then, you know, you'd have to wait, of course, until somebody might challenge it. That could be years away until somebody challenged this new bill and said it was unconstitutional. But in order for it to get into effect, I don't think you have to, it has to work its way up to the Supreme Court.
But it will still take a substantial time, it sounds like.
It will take a substantial time, and that's the trouble, because I think that Marla brought out a good point. I mean, this organization that we're on this website that we have, within a week, we have 3,000 members already. Mm. I mean, I look at that website every 5 minutes, and we have 100 more members. I think the public is really with us on this. But the I think new legislation will be enacted, and I think that, you know, our concern is that in the interim, in this waiting period, thousands of animals are going to be needlessly tortured.
Right. And that's the thing, isn't it? That's what gets to me. It's just unconscionable to leave it in limbo like this, knowing what's the reality, that it's exponentially growing again and spreading out.
It's growing overnight. I mean, you can easily find crush videos on the internet right now, and videos of dog fights. The other thing I wanted to point out is that there were two cases that were brought up. One was called the Ferber case. I think that was Ferber versus New York, and the other was Miller versus California. Those were both cases involving child pornography. Hmm. And Justice Alito talks about those in his dissent. And he shows how he argued that the reasoning of these cases should be extended to the protection of animals, and the Supreme Court refused to do that. For instance, he talked about the fact that the conduct sought to be prohibited involved a crime, you know, because animal cruelty is a crime, and there still are animal cruelty statutes in effect. So under Ferber, you know, the law sought, the harm sought to be evaded was, you know, obviously child pornography, forcing children to engage in sexual acts for profit, okay?
Right.
And Congress, so he talked about that. He talked about the fact, and this was important, that they have to target the sale, because one of the problems with the crush videos that was also a problem with these child pornography cases was that it was almost impossible to prosecute people for making the videos. For example, in the crush videos, the women, you never see their faces photographed. It's always their legs and their feet, okay? So it's very hard to determine where the videos were made. It's hard to determine when they were made, you know, and they're moving through interstate commerce. And then there were always statutes of limitation problems once you did find these people and track them down. So one of the things Justice Alito pointed out was we have to be able to get at the sale of these videos. We have to be able to make the sale of these videos illegal. And that's what happened in the child pornography cases. That was the same reasoning, that the sale of videos depicting child pornography were made illegal, because then it was easier to prosecute people. And then they talked about a balancing test. The value that you get from these videos has to be outweighed by the evil you're trying to avert. And you see that same reasoning applies to these animal crush cases. There was no reason not to extend the language, that precedent, to crush videos. But the court, for reasons that I don't understand, elected not to do it. They were stretching to find overbroad. They were people, I hear them, oh, we're worried about our free speech, and I don't want, you know, I don't want to risk my civil liberties, you know, for the sake of animals. But they wouldn't be. Even, I don't even see where the hunters' rights were being violated,
right?
Because like I said, if the activity is legal where it's done or where it's made, you can't be prosecuted under this statute. So if you have hunting legal in all 50 states, how are you going to prosecute people for hunting when that's legal?
Yeah, yeah, you're right. There's it makes no sense. They really were looking at two different things there, and
it doesn't make any sense to me.
Yeah.
And the other thing that they talked about, that was talked about both in the majority opinion and in Alito's dissent, was in the line of child pornography cases talked about categories of speech that are unprotected, and the well-known language, I think it was in the Miller case. Back in 1972 or 1973, said that these cases, these videos of children being forced to do sexual acts against their will, you know, for profit. I mean, they have no scientific, no educational, mm-hmm. no journalistic, no artistic value.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, the only function of those videos in child pornography were to appeal to the purient interest, the purient sexual interest of the viewers.
Right.
And that wasn't considered valid. Well, isn't that the same thing we have here? We have crush videos, the only purpose of which is to appeal to the purient interest of the viewers that watch them. They have no artistic, no journalistic, no educational value. So, and of course the court went back and forth on that and said, well, you could argue this about hunting videos. And they talked about different forms of hunting, which may be legal in some states and illegal in another state. And Justice Alito pointed out that hunting videos do have an educational purpose. So they'd be exempted from this statute. And even certain forms of hunting that are allowed in some states and not in others, that would still be a journalistic value. So he talked about how under this statute, you know, he said it was fine the way it was. It didn't need to be rewritten, that the court was stretching to fine over breath.
Right.
And that their fears were unsubstantiated. And quite frankly, I think that his reasoning made the most common sense to me. I mean, you know, I'm just a lawyer. I'm not a Supreme Court justice. I'm not one of the eight majority. But it doesn't make common sense to me. And I really do think they could have easily extended the language of the Ferber case, the language of the Miller case, and these child pornography cases to the crush videos, because these videos have no scientific, no journalistic, no educational value. The harm you want to have averted is outweighed by any minimal value, plus the fact the states have an interest in preventing crime, and they also have a compelling interest in preventing people from profiting from crime. All of these arguments were put forth to the court, and they ruled the way they did. So the best we can do now is enact legislation that's narrowly tailored. So if another person is prosecuted under a new statute, if it does work its way up to the Supreme Court, it won't be struck down for being overbroad.
Exactly, that there'll be no chance for that to happen.
And who knows what this court would do, but, you know.
Well,
so that's pretty much the sum and substance of it.
Wow. You know, after chatting with Marla and now hearing the legal side of it, it really is stunning. I am literally lost for words in terms of how could that have happened. It really is. Any sane person, I just don't know how that could happen. So I suppose that's how it is sometimes. Things don't go out, you know, what we think should go our way, but
you know, and that's a lesson, because people, I mean, I'm glad you said that, because being a lawyer, I mean, sometimes my clients are stunned by the rulings judges make, and it just doesn't seem fair, and it's not the way you would expect things to go, but, you know, unfortunately, that's just the way it is.
Yep.
And sometimes, I mean, you know, when I'm practicing every day and things happen, just things you have to expect the unexpected, and this just, I don't think it was well thought out. You wonder if there was, I mean, obviously the NRA, the hunting industry, has a big, strong lobby. Maybe they influence the judges. Who knows? I've heard some of the judges are avid hunters. Maybe they couldn't separate their personal interests from this. But even if that were the case, I agree with Justice Alito. I don't think that hunting videos were in any danger.
Right.
Of being deemed illegal under this statute.
Exactly. They never had been, and nobody ever thought that they would be. That's the thing, wasn't it? That they,
it was. What the other thing that was stunning to me was that this whole case talked about hunting. They barely talked about what Mr. Stevens had done and the horrific things he'd done to animals, and whether dog fighting falls within the purview of the statute, and whether crush videos should be banned. Their whole opinion was, well, this may be overbroad, and it might hurt hunters because in the District of Columbia, hunting is illegal.
Yep.
It was such a stretch. So.
Yep.
It just didn't make common sense to me. I mean, I've read opinions by Supreme Court judges that I didn't agree with, but they still made sense.
Right, that you could see the logic, overbearing logic of it, perhaps, yeah.
So, but, and it just doesn't make sense. And, you know, yeah. And there were some people that will try to argue with me, well, they think hunting is wrong. And, you know, yeah, sure. There are some people that disagree with hunting, but that's not the point.
Right.
It doesn't matter what your view is of hunting is or my view. It doesn't matter because from my standpoint, it wasn't an issue.
Exactly. Exactly.
You know? And I guess the moral of the story is, and this is what I say on the website all the time, be very careful for who you vote for because the President of the United States appoints the Supreme Court judges.
Yes.
And that's always my very first consideration when I vote. You know, who do I want appointing Supreme Court justices? Because those people are going to be there for the rest of their lives. They're not voted in and out after a term. So
exactly.
I think people need to assess their values and what's important to them. And if animal issues, for instance, are important to you, you need to vote for a person who's going to appoint people that are going to protect that because I don't care what anybody says. I think people bring themselves into their job. And it's even though they're supposed to be completely dispassionate and objective,
right.
They aren't always.
Yeah, it seems, especially in the last number of years, we have seen that way too many times, it appears, on the court.
Yes, we have.
So, it's another stunning one that...
I never thought I'd find myself so aligned with Justice Alito. He's one of the conservative judges on the support, but bless his heart, I am just so glad he wrote this dissenting opinion. I mean, it's just important that it's out there and that there's language and there's dicta. Yeah. Because, you know, sometimes the dissenting opinion becomes the majority opinion, or it can be used as persuasive language in other cases in state courts. So I'm just grateful to him. And, you know, like I said, it's the unexpected. Who would have thought I would have been completely aligned with one of the more conservative judges on the court? But, you know.
It just showed, he drew the short straw.
He did. But, you know, but I hope he realizes that, and I was talking to Marla about this and to Nancy Love, my two other co-administrators on this page, that, that you know, he's human like everybody else, and he's doing his job, and he's doing what he's supposed to do by writing the opinion the way he sees it's supposed to be. But I think like any other person, you wonder if he feels alienated by his colleagues that he's got to go to work with every day and see. You know, and I know that some of the issues on the court, I don't know if this is one of them, get so controversial and so vitriolic, you know, and they're so divided. And I just hope that Justice Alito does know that, by and large, he has the court of public opinion in his corner. I mean, maybe his colleagues aren't, but most of us are.
Yeah. Well, that's good. We've got to give, keep that basically coming out, keep it in the public eye so that they, you know, the public lobby can overcome perhaps a private lobby.
Right, right. And I think it's important. I think Marla urged everyone to get involved, go to the website. Yep. There's, you can write to your representatives, your Congress people, really make this an important issue and make sure they pay attention to it. Because I think the main concern that we've expressed here, and even Justice Alito expressed this in his opinion, that there's the resurgence of this market, even if we eventually pass a statute, you know, and get a statute enacted that once again, you know, kills this market for crush videos in the interim months, in the months that go by, I mean, thousands of animals are going to be tortured. In the past week, you can imagine how many little kittens and dogs have been crushed on.
And kids watching it on the internet.
Somebody posted on our website about it, about the danger of children watching it and how that's going to affect them.
Exactly. Yeah, the ramifications is just so huge. It's dramatic, yeah. Well, thank you very much, Randy Klein, for chatting with us about the legal side of crush videos.
Oh, it was my pleasure.
I just hope people do go to the website, stopcrush.org, and sign up or go to the links and get active, and because as you can see, the ramifications are huge.
They are. Yep. Thank you very much for having us.
Thank you very much, Randy, and good luck.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.